The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you all today. I'm really excited because this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible that we got to read for our gospel lesson today. It's from Luke chapter 6, which has Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, which is like Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's gospel. And so one of the things it does for us is it really shows us in clear terms what the Christian life is all about, and it helps us to avoid some common distortions of the Christian life. One of these distortions is an idea that Dietrich Bonhoeffer calls cheap grace. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship, and one of the main themes in the book is parsing out this difference between cheap grace and costly grace. Cheap grace is the idea that while God's forgiven us, God is nice, God doesn't really care anymore, we can just sort of go on and live however we want. Christianity doesn't really require anything of us. We can just, you know, we may decide to show up for church if we want to, but it doesn't really matter. We're saved, so that's that. It doesn't really matter anymore. But this idea of cheap grace is nothing at all like the kind of grace that we see in Scripture. In Scripture, grace is costly. Forgiveness of sins was won by Christ's death for us on the cross. And for our lives, it makes very serious demands. We have to take up our cross and follow him. All of our priorities that we had before, the entire way we had oriented our lives before we found Christ, has to be changed now. So real grace and real forgiveness are costly. They require something out of us. So against this idea of cheap grace, that we're just forgiven and that it doesn't matter how we live after we're saved, we see here in this passage that we read today that Christ makes very serious demands on his followers. He says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Be merciful, as your Father is merciful. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you." All of these are commands for how we're supposed to live now that we're Christians. And so this, and even before this passage that we read today in the Sermon on the Plain, we have an even more shocking one, which is that we should love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. You might have noticed, and as we were going through the litany today, we had one of those prayers that God would forgive our enemies and bless and turn the hearts of those who persecute us. But even more shocking than this is one that we find in Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus says, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, as we hear all this, it might seem completely unattainable for us. How could we, who are fallen and sinful creatures, ever live up to these impossible standards that Christ has set for his followers? Well, the answer is that Christ intends to make us into the kind of people who just naturally follow these commandments. He's going to replace our hearts of stone with hearts of flesh that love God and joyfully serve him. We'll obey God's commandments just because that's what we want to do and because we love God and love to do what he's commanded for us. Practically, the way this works out in our lives is through a lifelong process of dedicated discipleship. Jesus says, "The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master." So as disciples, we slowly become more and more like our master by imitating his life. Notice that Jesus says, "Be merciful as your Father also is merciful." So the model for us to imitate is the love and the mercy and the generosity of God that's revealed to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. So this fact that the Christian life requires imitation of Christ can easily be neglected by us. Thomas A. Kempis wrote a book called The Imitation of Christ, and he writes, "There are many who hear the gospel often, but care little for it, because they have not the Spirit of Christ. Yet whoever wishes to understand fully the works of Christ must try to pattern his whole life on that of Christ." So it's not enough to just hear these teachings and think of them in some sort of abstract sense, but we have to actually pattern our life after Christ in order to have the full effect of these teachings. From childhood through adulthood, imitation is one of the main ways that we learn things. I remember when I was a kid, I was in love with baseball. I played baseball all throughout my childhood, and I actually learned to bat left-handed, even though I'm right-handed, because my older brother is left-handed, and I was imitating him. So this is true all throughout our lives, that we learn things by imitation, but not just in our day-to-day lives, but even in our spiritual and moral lives. We learn to become the kind of people that God has called us to be through imitation. One of the reasons that Christ, the eternal Son of God, became man was in order to show us how to live a human life in perfect obedience to the Father. By looking to the life and teachings of Christ, we see the pattern of life that we have to take on if we are going to become holy. Now, it would be impossible for us to achieve all this just by our own strength. We can't become the kind of merciful and forgiving and generous people that Christ is without this divine grace given to us by God. But when we as disciples imitate Christ as our teacher, then we're gradually formed into the kind of people who practice all of these virtues just by habit. But what separates Christ from a merely human role model that we might take on in our lives is that Christ not only serves as some kind of distant example for us to look up to and try our best to follow, but that Christ actually gives us grace to achieve this and to follow his example by the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. So it's not just some sort of external relationship that we have to Christ, but he's actively empowering us to become the kind of disciples that he's called to be. So let us therefore go forth and strive to imitate Christ's example that he's set for us, and trusting that he will empower us to be the disciples that he's called us to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.